Welcome to Radio at Firehouse.com. Real issues, real answers, real firefighters. Firehouse.com brings you the leaders of the nation's fire, rescue, and EMS services, the top columnists and educators, and today's most important issues, headlines, and comments. Listen right on your desktop or download and listen on the go to Firehouse.com.
And welcome to this month's issue of Campus Fire Watch Radio. My name's Ed Kamau, and we put together a panel today to talk about the new project that was just launched, the Hellenbeck College Fire Survival. And joining us today is Dan Jones, who's Fire Chief of the Chapel Hill Fire Department, Sean Longrich, who's Director of the People's Burn Foundation, Gail Minger, who's Director of the Michael H. Minger Foundation, and Kevin Ply, who's the Fire Chief with Purdue University. Appreciate you all taking the time to join us today.
Thank you. Good to be here.
All of these people have been pretty closely involved in this project, and we're really going to get into it in just a second here, but I'd like to take advantage of this moment to talk about another project that we just launched this week, the Campus Fire Watch Media Project. And this is being done with the support of Campus Fire Watch, the People's Burn Foundation, and the Michael H. Minger Foundation. And this is an idea that both Sean, Gail, and I have all talked about in terms of trying to get students more engaged in terms of fire safety education and learning more about how they can protect themselves. So what we came up with is the idea of providing students with the opportunity to write articles for Campus Fire Watch on campus fire safety. And I think this is really going to hit the mark in terms of the students not only get to learn more about fire safety themselves, but boy, we'll sure learn a lot about what they know or don't know, won't we, ladies, in terms of what they what it comes to fire safety on campuses.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And I think it will also, Ed, give them the opportunity to help us understand what might be some key factors in getting to the students, because that's always seemed to be something that we've struggled with.
It is a tough demographic to reach out to and touch, so there's a lot more information available on this project on all three websites, from Campus Fire Watch, People's Burn Foundation, and the Michael Minger Foundation, and there'll be some links below on the page here on radio@firehouse.com, so take a look and spread the word to anybody you know about the Campus Fire Watch Media Project. Well, let's jump over now to this other project that we're all here for, the Hellenbeck Project. And Gail kind of hit the nail on the head there, that it is a tough demographic to really reach out to and touch with information about fire safety. And I'd like to start with Sean, because this project is being done under the People's Burn Foundation, so it really was her brainstorm to start with, or her brainchild, whatever we want to call it, to get this thing going. And Sean, maybe you can give us a little bit of background as to why it even came to be in the first place.
Well, I don't want to take credit for this. There were a lot of nationally renowned experts that were involved. 2 years ago, when we launched the To Hellenbeck Community Awareness Program, and once again, To Hellenbeck is a series of firefighter education for burn injuries, to prevent burn injuries, and then a community piece for adults and high school students. In the grant that we submitted to Homeland Security for high school and adult, that whole population, community population, what the experts came to realize was that if we were to include college in it, we would be doing nothing more than a disservice to the college demographic, because there was so much information that had to be included. And at some point, you just water down the message. So with that, the idea was that we would write yet another grant, and this grant was based on not only that, but a lot of firefighter feedback from firefighters who had participated in To Hellenbeck training, who had said, you know, we monitor college campus populations, and this demographic just does not get it. You know, we'll show up on a fire run, the alarms will sound, we'll be there, there will be smoke pouring from the building, and we still find the students inside. We have got to change this. So with that, that was the basis for the grant, and obviously, you know, we received that grant or we wouldn't be having this conversation about it now. So as we went into that, that whole idea of how is it that we reach the college demographic, we felt that it was incumbent upon the team, and Ed is the subject matter expert that leads the college team, that we really get into their minds. And so we did some unusual things. We did, focus groups. Now, that's not so unusual, but going into Second Life, which is a web-based virtual Second Life, and doing focus groups was pretty much cutting edge. You know, when you realize that major corporations from all over the United States, all over the world, literally use Second Life to do market research, you think, okay, why not? It's free. So, and then we compiled all of that information, and really what we learned is that, you know, college students told us, they said, you know, we don't want to be lectured to, we do not want to be preached at, we will not use computers to learn, we will not, gosh, Ed, what were all the things they wouldn't do? All we heard about was what they wouldn't do, really, and the way that they didn't want to learn. So in creating this, that's really the way that we created the program. And then what we found out when we sent it out for beta testing, the college students came back and said, you didn't teach us anything. Well, in the long run, you know, really we did exactly what they said they wanted. But that didn't teach them anything. So we had to turn back around. We had to kind of start all over. We didn't have to start all over, but we really had to focus on the messaging. And so that's what we did, you know, three key messages that actually taught them something. So that's kind of where we are right now. You know, we launched it at FDIC last week. The feedback was phenomenal. A lot of good information. There were firefighters that came to us and said, we have needed this in the United States for longer than you can even think about. So I'm really excited about the launch in August. I think that it is going to make a difference.
I think the important thing that did come out of that, those focus groups that we did, and like Sean said, we did real-world focus groups where we sat across the table. We also did the Second Life focus groups, and we did an online survey, too, that hit about 500 students across the nation.
Mm-hmm.
What really came out of that we found interesting was that, yes, students didn't know a lot, but once that was pointed out to them, they really wanted to know, didn't they, Sean? I mean, they wanted to know the answers. They wanted to know what to do.
Absolutely. And that's why, you know, the beta testing process is so important. You know, obviously you want to be able to create a message for a demographic in need, and that's what we did. But where we failed them was in the messaging, which is where we've been failing them all along. We weren't direct enough. You know, we keep trying to put a spin on fire safety and fire prevention and burn safety and burn prevention. And the fact of the matter is that it's not really sexy stuff when you get right down to the bare essentials. You know, it's just a message that you just can't change. You've got to use smoke alarms. You've got to have a plan. Sprinklers in colleges. I mean, it's just basic, fundamental stuff. And it's stuff that parents have not been teaching for years. And if they don't teach, then their children don't know. You know, education's generational no matter how you look at it.
And a lot of it, as you're just saying, is the message doesn't change, it's the delivery. And
mm-hmm.
and delivering to this demographic is again, as I keep saying, a challenging one. I'd like to turn to Kevin Ply, who's the fire chief at Purdue University, where he provides fire protection on the campus. It's a little bit unusual where the fire department is actually part of the university. So Kevin really is intimately involved with everyday life in terms of mm-hmm. delivering fire safety to the students. And it is a challenge reaching these students, isn't it, Kevin?
Yes, it's very much a challenge. A lot of times you've got students or student groups that, you know, they're away from home for the first time. They have not had to be responsible for their own safety, which in the past that responsibility was to their parents. They come to school, they're focused on their education, their outside activities, and they don't want to be bothered with fire safety programs, and that's always been a challenge for us, is to getting the message across, or getting them to live and to act responsibly, and that's continued to be a problem.
I mean, this, now you've been pretty closely involved in the development of this whole project.
Yeah.
How do you see it being used on a campus? How do you see it being implemented? You know, your peers across the country, what would you say to them how to use this program?
Well, I think this gives them a tool that they can use right out of the box to help get their program started. Obviously, there's a lot more information specific to that organization that needs to be delivered. But with this program, that gives you the base information that you want to give to the student group. It also was done in a way to keep their attention, to let them not only to learn from it, but to enjoy what they're seeing. And you know, with that with this type of program, again, it gives a great tool for the universities, the colleges to use to kick off a fire safety program. For example, with our university, we just recently added a position of a fire prevention specialist to focus full-time on giving out the message of fire safety, not only to the residence halls, but going to the Greek housing, off-campus housing. And, you know, a tool like this will help them to deliver that message and then to build upon it for our specific information we want to give out.
And, you know, the teachable moment is always so important, too, in reaching out to these students. I mean, one of the things we learned through the focus groups is they're looking for the kind of more graphic, reality-based type education. And taking advantage of a teachable moment of an incident, whether it's on your campus or somewhere else, is another part of this in trying to reach out to these students, isn't it?
Yes. Anytime that you can use, not, you know, for example, our campus, we have not had an experience where we've had fire fatality, but we can obviously use the situations that have happened around the country and use those as teachable moments for the students living within our campus or around the surrounding community.
Because, I mean, that really brings it home to them, doesn't it? I mean, students are kind of like everybody else. It won't happen to me. There's always something that happens to somebody else far away. But yet, I think a teachable moment shows them that, yes, it does happen to you. I mean, we've had so many of those just as in the past year. You know, the Ocean Isle Beach where 7 students were killed while on vacation. You know, they wasn't even at school, but they were at one of the students' beach house where they were killed. This kind of information is not only for while they're at school, but really for the rest of their lives, isn't it?
That's correct. I mean, if you can give this message to these people in this age group, again, most of these people have not had to be responsible for their own safety. They've relied heavily on their parents throughout their upkeeping to watch out for them. Now they're going away to school. Most of them are away from home for the first time. When they're away from home, they need to be responsible for their own actions. And, you know, by giving them this information, hopefully after they finish their college career and they move out on their own and start a career and start a family, they're going to carry the information that they've learned in and continue to learn through college off onto their adult life.
Well, we're talking about teachable moments, and one of the people here who suffered that kind of teachable moment is Dan Jones, who's the fire chief down in Chapel Hill Fire Department. Where, you know, what, 12 years ago now, Dan, I guess it's been, you had the fire down there?
It's just been 12 years.
12 years ago, where 5 students were killed in a fraternity fire down there. And Dan, unfortunately, had the ultimate teachable moment down there in terms of reaching out and trying to educate students. And the good thing that did come out of it is you did manage to get all the buildings sprinkled down there, didn't you, Dan?
We did, and it was a real case history of how that teachable moment works. And, you know, a teachable moment in some settings and with some demographics lasts a lifetime. The problem on a college campus is we're dealing with a transient population. It, for the most part, almost completely turns over about every 3 years. And so in 1996, when we lost 5 students to a fire on Mother's Day, graduation day, the that student body that was here at the time, for the next 2 or 3 years after that, they were coming to us for the information. We weren't having to try to figure out how to deliver the message. They were coming to us. They were wanting to create ways to make their campus safer. Student government formed a student fire safety committee to work with us. We had students that helped us actually create a teaching aid, a video at the time for campus fire safety. But it didn't last, and that was the problem with it. It didn't last. 3, 4, 5 years later, we're dealing with a new student body who was not in Chapel Hill or at University of North Carolina when it occurred. They've heard about it. But it's part of the history of the university at that point, and it continues to become more and more distant. And the students now who are here at the university, they were in elementary school when that happened. They may or may not even have been aware of it. So we're dealing with a whole new body of students who did not benefit from that teachable moment, even though they're part of this institution, this community. And so that's why tools like the Hell and Back campus fire survival is so important, because it helps us take those teachable moments and allow us to extend that with students who did not experience that.
And your situation is a little bit different from Kevin, where he's on campus, so he has a somewhat captive audience that's, you know, he works with there, although obviously some of his are off campus. But you're dealing totally with an off campus environment there in the fraternities and the sororities, where it's probably even more difficult to reach out and touch them, because, you know, it's just because of the nature of the of how they're set up, trying to reach out with them with education messages.
Well, in some ways it's more difficult. In other ways it may be a little easier. Because, for example, with the student housing that's off campus and the fraternities and sororities that we have here in Chapel Hill, we have the advantage of being able to use code compliance and enforcement and regular inspections and so forth, where in some settings where you have a campus situation, there's some bureaucracy there that may be self-serving for the university, and it may be difficult for some fire departments to deal with that. We're fortunate here at UNC, and partly because of the tragedy we suffered here, that we do have a very cooperative campus, very cooperative university administration with us on fire safety issues, but that came at a price. And the price, in our case, was Mark Strickland, Ben Woodruff, Josh Weaver, Ann Smith, and Joanna Woodruff, or Joanna Howe, excuse me, the five kids who paid for that cooperation with their lives. And I think one of the things that all of us who worked on the Hell and Back College Fire Survival Project want to be able to do is take these tragedies and spread the information so that everybody doesn't have to suffer the tragedy in order to achieve the teachable moment.
Right. And that's what we're all committed to, is to make sure that the parent doesn't get that call telling them their son or daughter's not coming home again. And unfortunately, one woman here who has joined us, Gail Minger, has had that call. Her son, Michael, was killed in a residence hall fire at Murray State University that turned out to be arson. And out of that tragedy, Gail has really taken it and become quite the advocate for campus fire safety in Kentucky and in her home state of Florida and really across the nation. She's done an extraordinary amount of work in terms of getting legislation passed and really raising awareness through her efforts as director of the Michael H. Minger Foundation. And one of the things, Gail, that, you know, I'd like to ask you to kind of address here is from a parent's perspective, you know, what should parents know? What should they do? What actions can they take when their children are going off to college? Because in a few months, that's exactly what's going to be happening across the nation, is parents are going to start packing their kids off to school. What is something that they, what should they do? What should they do?
Well, the first thing is to arm themselves with as much information as possible. And unfortunately, they do about so many other things. What does a college campus afford you as far as, you know, the academic, what programs they have to offer, what athletics they have to offer. You know, so many other things are high on the list for parents and students to look at. We had also one. My son Michael had learning disabilities, and we were very interested in a particular school that would have a wonderful special ed support system, which this university had. And unfortunately, parents, we don't think so much about the safety issues as much. I think today, with so many different things happening on college campuses around the nation, parents are finally getting it that they need to ask other questions. And so that's kind of been my job as Michael's mom, to make sure that parents that I meet with and others that I speak before, that we get that message out that you need to ask these questions. You have a wide choice of where your child, your son or daughter, can go to college. So please make that a priority, as well as what academics are offered, what programs are offered, you know, whether the school has a football team or where it ranks as far as these things are concerned. Where does it rank as far as safety goes? What kind of safety equipment suppression systems are in the residence halls where some of the students their first and second year, as in Michael's case, are required to live? So all of those things are questions that now, unfortunately, with us losing Michael, we had asked a lot of questions, believe it or not, beforehand, but unfortunately we assumed that sprinklers would be in buildings. We saw them in some of the administration buildings and just felt sure that it was the law at the time that it would be all of the buildings, especially where your child was sleeping, and you know that there's activities like candles, cooking, things that kids just do when they're first away from home, which I'm sure are nightmares for the fire service in their areas. But that's just the reality of college students, and they're learning to deal with their new environment. So the situation is having all that can be in place, and the sprinklers is certainly having a fireman on scene, that first responder, if you will, there in case there is a fire to help give them every opportunity possible to escape without injury or escape the inferno. So that's something that we have raised, the awareness of fire sprinklers and the necessity of them in all of the schools in Kentucky were mandated to be sprinklered, and they are at this time. The public universities were still working on some of the private. But again, I assumed as a parent that that was the case because I knew that it was the law and it was something I'd looked into, but I didn't realize that these kinds of buildings were grandfathered in. So that's just something that the general population doesn't know, and that we need to get these messages out there. But the most important thing is, like we teach our children today to put on seat belts, we need to teach the parents and students that are looking to go to college about the appropriate questions and things to be in place for them, such as operating sprinkler systems, operating smoke detectors and fire alarm and systems, and proper communication. So that's where we're headed, and that's my goal with the work that I do.
Radio at firehouse.com. Real issues, real answers, real firefighters.
And, you know, we're talking about all these systems, you know, smoke alarm systems, sprinkler systems and such, which obviously we all support and everything. But a lot of it just comes down to education and awareness. I'm kind of throwing this out to the group at large that, you know, it seems like there's so many constituencies that we have to talk to, the students, the parents, the administration, the community, in terms of raising the awareness among everybody so they all look for these things and ask for these things.
You know, Ed, one of the things that came out of a lot of these discussions, as you know, is that we, the fire service, we failed to continue the message. We're very good at teaching fire prevention and fire survival skills to elementary school kids.
Mm-hmm.
We have learned not to burn. We have stop, drop, and roll. We have all these kinds of things. But then we kind of give up on it.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't teach fire safety skills, basic fire safety skills, to people once they grow out of elementary school. And so one of the feedback things that we got from kids in the development part of this was they remember stop, drop, and roll. They remember Smokey the Bear. They remember things like that from grade school. But we didn't give them the more sophisticated fire survival information they needed during their high school years and their college years.
Well, and now we've seen where that's gone because
and exactly right.
They've turned into parents, and then those parents have raised children with little or no information available to them.
I mean, theoretically, if that whole process of teaching them when they were young, the idea was it would stick with them. Well, if it did, you would theoretically have the most fire-safe generation in the world right now, and as we're seeing, we don't.
You know, most public educators, I think, Ed, would say that, you know, when we teach children under the age of 9, we don't teach them. We teach them to know where their smoke detectors are, but it's up to the parents to be checking those smoke detectors. It's up to the parents to develop that escape plan. It's up to the parents to make sure that that escape plan is practiced. So without teaching the parents, if we're only teaching the children, which is what the entire nation has focused on, is just those just children. We have failed. We have failed as educators.
And another important reason, I think, too, for the education aspect being at the top of the list or one of the important components is that, you know, people will always say, well, there's just not enough money to sprinkle buildings or so forth and so on. But if we can get the population, these students that are now parents, to start asking and requiring these things to be in place, then it won't be an issue that we have to fight about financing these systems. It's an issue that it just will be because that's what is required from the next generation of parents bringing their kids to college campuses.
What we're really talking about is raising the public expectation through education.
Absolutely.
Once the public understands the risk, they understand the risk and they understand how simple the skills are to have to reduce that risk for themselves, for their families. That's the key to it right there. That's the whole key. And so the education process of the public, and that's why these To Hell and Back series are so important, is it does just that. It raises the education, it raises the expectation, and it causes people, even simple skills, like how many adults know when they go into a restaurant to just mentally look around and note two ways out? Very few. You know, how many people, when they check into a hotel, count the doors from their hotel room to the stairwell exit so that they can crawl along in low or no visibility, feel the doorways, and find the stairs? Very few. Simple skills, life skills that we need to teach.
One of the things I'm curious about, Kevin, is do you find more parents or more students asking questions about fire safety? Are we having some success, I guess?
We don't see a whole lot of people asking information before they're here on campus and living in their housing. What we have decided to do this year, and Gail had mentioned that she always assumed that the residence halls had sprinkler systems in them. What we have decided to do this year is here at Purdue University, we will have 8,500 students scheduled to visit campus this year before they actually step foot on their first day of classes. During the day on campus, we're giving out, for every packet that is given out to a student that visits the university, a fire safety checklist. It's just basic information about what to look for when you choose housing. Unfortunately, most of the individuals that will be coming here next fall will be living off campus. When they're living off campus, we lose some of the control that we have on their housing. This pamphlet that's going to go into the day on campus packets, again, has a checklist in there, things to look for, helpful hints for fire safety, what to look for. And it's focused primarily to the parents that will be coming with their children to do the day on campus tours.
Hmm. You know,
well,
Kevin,
excuse me,
Bonnie Woodruff, who's a good friend to several of us and who lost her son in our fire here. Bonnie said to me several times, you know, when we went to orientation at UNC, we asked about the academics, we asked about the extracurricular, we asked about the sports, we asked about, you know, extra help. And she said to me several times, we never even thought about asking about the safety aspects. We just assumed that was taken care of. And when my own daughter went off to college and I'm sitting in parent orientation and I started raising my hand and asking questions, well, which dorms have sprinkler systems in them? The parents that were sitting around me was like, oh, that's a good question. And you could tell that just had never crossed their mind.
That's correct. And if you wait until freshman orientation week or the beginning of the school year, it's already too late. They've already moved into their housing. Mm-hmm. And so many people, when they come to visit a campus, you know, they're focused on the academics. They're focused on, when they move their child in the fall, they're focused on getting books, getting them all the things they need to live and to study. They don't think about the fire safety part of it. So
they
we started
think about
looking,
their survival.
That's right.
And their survival with the academics, but not their human survival with their living space and so forth.
And for our department, we were focused so much on the response part of responding to an emergency. We started looking at what could we do more beforehand to get the information out, and we knew that that was information that wasn't being presented to the students or to the parents before they chose where they're going to live during their school year. So the information, getting it out during the day on campus tours during the summer months, hopefully people will take an opportunity to look over that information and use that information when they choose their housing.
And I know that some schools are actually using it as a marketing tool. When the prospective students come, they say to their parents, look, our dorms are sprinklered. Ask that question when you go elsewhere. And it's just like Dan said, you know, most parents don't even think of that. But once it's brought to their attention, they do.
They're very tuned in on it once they're made aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where we have to really focus. We need to make the student and the parent aware of it. That there are choices, and those choices can result in a safer experience at college.
Well, and I'd also like to add, too, that with Tehalenbach, we've talked a lot about sprinklers here because that's a major push for universities throughout the United States. But from where I sit, obviously kids are not going to be in buildings that are sprinklered for the rest of their lives. They're going to leave college, and they're going to live in apartment buildings, and they're going to live in rentals and things of that sort. You know, my feeling is that we are doing them a great disservice if we provide them with a false sense of security that says, you have sprinklers, you don't have to worry about anything. I want to go back to that basic fundamental level of, if there is a fire, this is what you have to do. Because we're not teaching them anything in terms of life skills if we just say, go fight for sprinkler systems. God knows I want sprinkler systems. I want them in houses. I want them in HUD housing. I want them everywhere. But until we reach that time, there are just fundamental things that we all need to know. And I think that if we don't use this opportunity as that teachable moment to say, like we have done, in this program, you've got to have two ways out. You've got to know what those two ways are. You've got to have working smoke alarms. And are you going to be the responsible kind of person that's going to take responsibility for your safety? You know,
you're absolutely right, Sean.
Right.
It's as basic as teaching kids to look both ways before they cross the street.
And that's what I say all the time. We don't teach kids to cross the street by telling them to look both ways one time. We teach through repetition.
Over and over, right.
Over and over. So, for parents who have not been teaching their children because they just haven't been aware, or, you know, Ed, I recall being in a conversation with Julie Turnbull's parents when we did a show with them recently here in Indianapolis, and they lived in off-campus housing, and Mrs. Turnbull said, you know, we visited the girls, and I looked around, and I saw these hair dryers plugged in and curling irons, and I thought, oh, my Lord, you know, we've got to make sure that the electrical panel will take care of all of these extension cords. And she said, never did I think I need to say something to Julie because I didn't want to scare her.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when you think about that, it's about fire prevention. How do we prevent the fires, college students? And fire safety, college students, what are you going to do if there is a fire? Let's really try and work on a prevention level. Because I think that from the focus groups, we saw a whole lot of confusion, didn't we, Ed?
Yes,
when
we
you
did.
Say, what's fire safety? What's the last thing you remember about fire safety? Stop, drop, and roll. And until you look at them and say, if you had to stop, drop, and roll, you didn't prevent anything. And then the light bulb goes on. It's like, well, okay, that was just a message that stuck, but it didn't teach them anything.
Well, I think also you're so right, Sean, that there needs to be a layered, you have to have a layered
approach,
thank you very much, to this, and that having buildings sprinklered is just the, you know, an end thing that would be great if that's done, but also sprinkler systems go down. You know, there's times when there's could be a situation, a remodeling, or different things happen. And so I think the fundamentals, like you're mentioning, all of these things, make about the exits, make sure you have two clear ways out. Make sure that you don't mess with the batteries and that they're working. All of the things that we've talked about and that are included in this Helen Back series, that those things are just a have to as far as knowing and understanding, because it is building on those fundamental points that we need to do.
Well, and Helen Back has been extremely successful because it uses the basic premise of this is the reality of a burn injury.
Right.
This is what will happen to you if you're exposed to heat and your skin cannot be replaced.
Right.
So using that philosophy, we hope to, just like we have done with the fire service throughout the United States, have kids come back and say, okay, wait a minute, now that scares me. I don't want that to happen, so what is it I need to do?
Right, and I think the intensity of these videos and all is excellent simply because in the society today, kids are, there's so much sensationalism about so many things that the reality, that this is reality and that it's done in a way that I believe it will certainly capture their attention and stick with them simply because it needs to be at this level for them to really get it, and I think it was done very well.
Well, hopefully the universities will buy into it on a higher level because, you know, all you have to do is go to YouTube right now and, you know, watch students pour hand sanitizer in their hands and set themselves on fire. Now, what is that?
Right.
You know, what is that?
Right. Well, that's dealing with a whole other issue with some of the things that campus safety... just campus safety security people are dealing with now about, you know, mental health and things like that. But it does cross over. And Michael's fire was an arson fire. So you do have these elements on campus. So again, going back to basic teaching, this very basic survival skills and techniques, things that are just the most important. Because it's not if there's going to be a fire, it's when.
When.
Right. And to Helen Back also... reintroduces, and I'll use that word, reintroduces the concept of consequence.
Yes.
There's a consequence for your actions or your inactions. And I think too many of our young people today don't recognize the issue of consequences, that there are consequences to be dealt with and suffered. If you don't act in a proper way or you act improperly. And one of the things that Helen Back graphically brings forward is what those consequences can be and just how painful and how long it lasts and how deep the scars go. And if it scares them a little bit, okay. Fear's a good motivator. Not wanting to scare kids sounds like a wonderful concept, but to be honest with you, some of the best lessons I've learned in my life is when I was afraid.
Mm-hmm. And I think in this demographics, fortunately or unfortunately, it takes a little of that because most of them have the attitude, it can't happen to me, it won't happen to me. It's just the nature of that age. That's, you know, they skydive and do all kinds of, you know, risk-taking, I think, at that age. It's just more innate for them. And so it's certainly... the point here, I believe, is just well made in a way that it will reach them.
Well, Sean, now that we've been talking about what this program is, maybe you can fill everybody in on what's going to happen. What are the next steps with it?
The program is being completed as we speak. We had some artwork to catch up on. It will drop ship to every fire department and every college campus university in the United States. That shipment will take place on or about May the 15th. It is a bulk shipment, so it takes about 3 or 4 weeks for it to get out there. It is free training. Free. I'm going to say that again. We have had hundreds of calls from fire departments to say, am I going to get halfway through this and then you're going to ask for my credit card? The answer is no. This is funded by the Department of Homeland Security. So... when you get the training, it is a turnkey program. It will include the entire series of To Helen Back. It will have college fire survival in there. It will also have community awareness in there, so there is an opportunity for colleges to use that with parents if they choose to do that. The program will have every tool that it possibly needs, from marketing to public relations to pre- and post-testing to evaluations and to instructor driven outlines for those smaller universities that may not have a campus fire safety official available. So that's it. The foundation will be following it. We hope that universities that do participate in the training contact us. We will encourage contacting them or encourage them to contact us for with results. We want to see how the program's being used so that we can share that with other fire departments throughout the United States in the event they're having problems. Sharing here is caring. As my mother used to say, let's share our information. And PBF will be the portal, and Campus Firewatch will be the portal. We will share, WriterTech, we will all share that information and disseminate it and get it back out there and keep feeding this. So that's kind of the plan, Ed.
And you're looking for some schools for testing this fall?
Yes, we are. We do have with the College Affordability Act, which we don't even need to go into yet. I mean, there comes a time in the future when colleges could possibly be mandated to provide fire safety and fire prevention education to their students. What we're looking at is building a model here with this program, and in doing so, we'd like to take no more than 10 universities throughout the United States that would require that their students participate in this online training mechanism. It's very simply done and very easily done with the back-end database. So that's kind of what we're looking for right now. I understand we probably have 4 or 5 at this point, but if we have good 10 universities, I think that we'll have a lot of information to share. And what I'd really like to see is an at-risk university, a university that's had a lot of fires, you know, a lot of close calls, to see if maybe we can help reduce those statistics in their area.
Well, we've been talking about the Hell and Back College Fire Survival, the new program that's been developed by the People's Burn Foundation under a DHS Fire Prevention and Safety Grant. And joining us today has been Dan Jones, who's the fire chief from the Chapel Hill Fire Department, Sean Longrich, who's the director of the People's Burn Foundation, Gail Minger from the Michael H. Minger Foundation, and Kevin Ply, who's the fire chief with Purdue University. I really thank you all for taking your time to join us here today and give us your insight on campus fire safety.
Thank you, Ed. It's been a pleasure as always.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Pleasure.
And my name is Ed Camo. I'm the publisher of Campus Firewatch, and you're listening to Campus Firewatch Radio on radio@firehouse.com.
If you have a comment on this program, drop us a line at radio@firehouse.com. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned to firehouse.com for more broadcasts like these, or visit our website at www.firehouse.com/radio.